thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
As you know, we've been looking through and going through the Lord's Prayer. For me, deeply appreciating this in a fresh way, in a new way, in a much more comprehensive way than I've ever done before in my life. And isn't that great that that's how God works? He takes us deeper, takes us further. And surely this prayer that we rhyme off called the Lord's Prayer, or as we've named it, is one of those things that we can simply rhyme off. But if we take the time to pause and to think and to ponder why Jesus gave us this pattern for prayer and think upon it and ponder it and go deeper, we understand that it's absolutely astounding, astoundingly brilliant in every way. We have God, our Father. What a wonderful way to start a pattern for prayer. You know, some of us, we think, well, we don't know how to pray, and that's why we don't pray, because we don't know what to pray. Porkies, we know what to pray. There's a slovenliness in our spirit, a laziness in our spirit. We're distracted by this and by that and the other. You know, want to know how to pray? Do you really genuinely want to know how to pray? Then who's the best person to find out from? It's Jesus, of course. And so he says, this is how you should pray. Pray like this. Pray along these lines. This is a pattern. It's an all-consuming pattern. It's so wide, it's so deep, and it's so high, and it's so powerful. If you will let it touch your life, if you let this truth sink in and transform you, truly, we will be different. So Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, our dear Father. Our dear Father, may your great, precious, and powerful name be seen to be great and awesome. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom invade every space with your grace. Invade my heart, invade my mind, invade my attitudes, my actions, my reactions. Invade me with your kingdom, with your righteous rule. Invade our town with your kingdom, with your righteous reign, with your majesty. May people see and recognize that you are the king. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your will, Lord, not my will, but thy will, your plans, may your purposes succeed in every way and in every sphere. And Lord, may our needs be supplied, our daily bread. May our sins be forgiven. And Lord, may our temptations be overcome, and may we be strengthened for the trial and in the trial and through the trial. What an incredible prayer this is. And all of that in 57 original Greek words. There's no room for empty repetitions here. It is incredible how Jesus manages to pack so much into such a short teaching on prayer. And of course, in the earliest church, it became a tradition to add the words of praise at the end of the prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It might shock you to know that this phrase is not in the earliest biblical manuscripts that we have, but it is very much in keeping with the spirit of the prayer itself and in keeping with all of Scripture, and especially 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11, where it says this: yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Isn't that wonderful? This great pattern for prayer. And here's the challenge for us. Here's the challenge that I want to lay down to you this morning. I'm not sure that if this is a regular pattern or a daily pattern for you, but let's have a challenge this week. And I'll lay a challenge down to you and for us and for myself, that this week we will specifically and daily take this particular pattern for prayer that Jesus gave us in order to teach us how to pray, and that we will take this as a pattern, and that we will pray it daily, not just vainly recite it, but to pray it as a pattern, to pray our Father in heaven, to ponder and to stop and to think what that means and how that applies to your life and to others, and go through the prayer in such a way. And we do this collectively together as the family of God. This morning we come to the phrase, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, like the other us parts of the pattern of prayer, where Jesus instructs us and says, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us. This part of the prayer clearly highlights to us our total dependence upon God for everything in every situation of our lives. Now, before we quickly move on from that, that is the very goal of all that God says and does. That we become absolutely, totally dependent upon Him. What a place to get to in life. What a liberating place. What a powerful place to get to, where we are totally dependent upon God for everything and in every situation. That's what the second half of this prayer highlights. That's if we take these petitions seriously, that is. If we seriously pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, seriously, not just praying that and thinking, I'm away at my work now, and I'll earn my wages to buy my food. Well, who's giving you the job? Who's given you the health and strength to do your job? Who's given you your very breath to breathe? Who's given you your abilities, your talents, your opportunities? You think you brought that about yourself because of how great you are? How amazing you are, how dedicated you are, how hard you have worked for all that you have got. If we were to take the second half of this prayer seriously, it means we're surrendering. And we're dependent upon Him. You see, if we're not fully convinced that we need our Father to deliver us on a daily basis, we'll soon fall and we'll fail. And we'll fall and we'll fail enough times to be convinced that we do need Him daily. It's not just, quotes, when the enemy attacks. It's not just, quote, when we're under threat. I don't know what kind of world you think you live in as a Christian. You are under attack. You are under threat. And unless God does deliver us, we will be constantly falling and failing. So that must lead us to the question, do we take this seriously? How often then, if you do take it serious, how often and how deeply and desperately do we pray this? Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You pray that? You pray that every day? You pray that not just as a little rhyme, but as a cry to God. Or is this kind of calling out to the Lord for daily deliverance only for the wishy-washy weaklings? You know. And the spiritually paranoid who see demons under every rock and behind every bush, and oh, they're always under attack and the devil's always on their case. And is it just for them? For the fretful followers of Jesus? Well, they pray that, but you know what? I don't really need to pray that. Or is the Lord's Prayer something that we take seriously in our daily lives? Because this is a daily prayer. He says, if we want our daily bread, yeah, it's a daily prayer. It's a daily pattern for prayer. Do we believe what we believe about what Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer? And especially this morning about daily dependence upon God in the face of trials and temptations. If you don't, it's no wonder that many of us are confused and even dismayed about how often, how frequently we fall into sin. If you don't take this seriously, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13 says this, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. If you think you made it, if you think you're the bee's knees, the cat's pajamas, you know, that spiritual hotshot, you don't really need to pray. You don't even need to pray. You don't even need to read your Bible. Don't even need to meet with other Christians. Don't need to meet together. Just because, you know, well, I'll get there. Well, take heed then. Because pride goes before a fall. Let anyone who thinks he's standing take heed lest he fall. And then it goes on to say this. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Everybody's tempted, Christian and non-Christian alike. God is faithful. Hallelujah. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He'll not let you do that. This is God's word. Listen up. He'll not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. If you want it, that is. That you may be able to endure it. God's faithful. In every temptation, in every trial, he's faithful. He knows how much we can take. And the steps of a good man are established by the Lord. And when he delights in his way, though he fall, and James says we all fall and fail in many different ways, but though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds him in his hand. Isn't God kind? He teaches us and he shows us how to pray for deliverance. He shows us a way out of temptation. But when we don't even take that, he lifts us. And he doesn't come with condemnation. If you notice in the New Testament, in the Gospels in particular, there's no sinners going to the Pharisees asking for forgiveness. No hurt people going to the Pharisees asking for grace and mercy. They're all going to Jesus. They're all going to him. Because he is the one who forgives. He's the one who restores. And here's the thing about temptation. We might think of temptation in the terms of things. You know, the bun in the cupboard that is calling your name constantly. Or the hidden chocolate bar that's been crying out to be rescued from the deep darkness of a cupboard somewhere in your house where your wife has hidden it. We think of temptations along those lines. But the first temptation, the root and the fruit of temptation is this. It's to deny God his first and primary place in our lives. That's what the root and the fruit of temptation is. Now, it may appear in different ways like that, like the bun or the chocolate or the whatever, but that is just a stepping stone to deny the primal primacy of God in our lives. For in that moment we succumb to temptation, what we are saying is, in effect, I desire that. If it's a sin, we desire that more than we desire God in that moment. That's reality. It's an uncomfortable reality, but nevertheless it is. The end of all temptation, the goal of all temptation, is to be independent from God. It's to be self-sufficient, to be self-satisfied, satisfied by self. To go it alone, to do things my way. Genesis 3, the serpent poisons the minds of Adam and Eve. The temptation is to eat the forbidden fruit. But at the root is the temptation to deny God and his word, to refuse to trust God So every temptation that comes is an incitement to deny God. We need to understand that, especially in the context of the Lord's Prayer. And all through this pattern for prayer, Jesus is teaching us about worship. He's teaching us to focus on our Father, the hallowing of His name, the recognizing of His greatness, the understanding that everything is kingdom, it's about Him, and praying, Thy will be done and not My will be done. And even in the prayer that relates to us and our daily needs, the message is clear. It's about God. It's about God being glorified in meeting your needs, in my needs, in forgiving us, in delivering us, in keeping us safe. The temptation is this, you see, that the enemy sows into our hearts, and our own evil hearts cause us to be tempted also. God is withholding from me. That's the core. That's the root of it all. God is withholding. He's not giving me what's good for me. He's not giving me what I need. He's not recognizing that I need this. So therefore, I have to make sure that I get it. How many lives have been absolutely ruined by that? By that thought that God is withholding from me that good thing. And so the young Christian goes off and gets married to a non-Christian. Ah, sometimes it works out great and wonderfully well and fantastic. Other times it doesn't. Most times it doesn't. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in You. Temptations, trials, difficulties. We see it, and this verse really is so difficult in some ways to kind of get a grip of. And I think Jesus uses particular words here to make sure that we don't just skip over this. And it's even the phrase itself, lead us not into temptation. And you think to yourself, well, God wouldn't do that, would He? God doesn't tempt us, does He? So if God doesn't tempt us, why should He say, lead us not into temptation? And it's all a wee bit unclear to us. But this word temptation and the word evil, the word temptation for a start, can be interpreted as temptation in the way that we know it, or testing as well. It can be interpreted as both. And the word evil can also be interpreted as the evil one, and it can also be legitimately interpreted as being trouble, tribulation, hardship, that kind of thing. So what is Jesus doing here by using these words? I believe He's painting a broad canvas, a big canvas, and He's saying to us, you are in the world. The prince of the power of the works of darkness is in the world. It's all around you. That's where you live. And evil has all kinds of different facets and different perspectives, and temptations will come to you, and evil will be against you, and trouble will be all around. And yet, in the midst of all of that, be dependent upon your Father who loves you. And that's why he says, but deliver us from evil. And God delivers us, and he does deliver us. And you know what? Even if he doesn't deliver us in this world, he will deliver us from this world into the next. I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Powerful faith. We're not bowing down to the idol. King, we're not doing it. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. Well, okay. God will deliver us from a fiery furnace. Do we have anything like the same kind of faith to speak the next part of that sentence? But even if he doesn't, we're not bound down. But even if he doesn't, folks, we live in a world where Christians are being persecuted and killed in horrific numbers in these days. Horrific numbers. It's increasing all the time. That's not alarmist. That is just a fact. A horrible, sad fact. And our brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters, are facing real, tangible, physical violence on a daily basis. And their prayer is, Lord, deliver us. And their prayer is, we're not going to bow down. Their stance is, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to go with the flow of the evil of this world. God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, you see, the thing is, are we so blinkered and blinded and so myopic in our thinking that this is all there is? I follow God because he gives me a good life. And as soon as he stops giving me a good life, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with him unless he blesses me. Even if he doesn't deliver me, even if he doesn't save me, even if he doesn't heal me, even if he doesn't bring me out of that fire and that trial, I'm not bowing down because I'm worshiping him. I'm worshiping him. And God calls us to be involved. Because we're not to be passive in this. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand firm. There are battles inside. There are battles outside. There are battles all around us. But we know something. And the psalmist said it like this. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hallelujah. Trials, testing, evil, all around us. But somehow or other, it doesn't occur to us to pray the Lord's Prayer on a daily basis. Funny that, isn't it? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, lead us not into a place that evil will triumph. But Lord, help us, strengthen us, be our deliverer. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and empathize with our weaknesses and our frailties, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, it's not time to hit the panic button. Time to hit the prayer button. Greater is He who's in you than he that's in the world. Look back at every trial you've gone through in your life. Would you change anything? That's where you grew, didn't you? You grew incredibly. You grew like you never knew you could grow. But given the choice, would have you gone through it? Probably not. But He took us through the fire. He took us through the difficulty, through the slander even, through the whatever way, shape or form you were trying to be dispossessed of your hope in God. And He took you through. Folks, the Lord's Prayer, the pattern for prayer. Let's take it up. Let's not just be hearers only, but let's be doers of the word. Let's say, Lord, give me the grace to pray this, to understand this, to be equipped by this. It's not going to exempt, it's not a lucky charm. It's not going to exempt us from difficulties. It will equip us, transform us, strengthen us, so that we're not wishy-washy Christians who are so lacking in confidence and fearful and run and hide at the first bush that seems to shake. Because the devil's after me. God, our Heavenly Father, is infinitely more powerful than the enemy of your soul. To believe that. Infinitely. And He will only, our Father will only allow situations, circumstances, trials and tests to come upon us that have already been filtered through His love for us. Because He knows how to strengthen us, and He knows how to equip us for the battle. Let's pray, shall we? Our wonderful Father, Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood to cleanse us, to enable us to be children of the living God. Father, we pray that your name will be seen to be great in our lives. We pray that we will be kingdom people who see and long for and live for your kingdom to invade every area of our lives, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and the secret place and the public place, that your kingdom would rule and reign in righteousness in us and through us, that we would delight to do your will. However we see your will, that we would see it clearly. It would not be a burden or a drudge, but it would be a delight to do your will. Help us to be dependent upon you daily. Not just when the heat is on, not just when there's a need or when there's a tragedy or when there's a trial, not just when we feel like we need you, but help us to be totally dependent upon you day by day. Even for our daily bread, for forgiveness. God, help us to forgive others. So hard for us. Give us the grace to do that fully and freely from our hearts. And God, equip us for temptation. Help us to know that you're our deliverer. Help us to look for the exit route. Help us to know that giving in to temptation is a denial of your ownership in our lives. Help us to rejoice that you do not withhold any good thing from us, because you're our Father in heaven and you delight to give good gifts to us. So, Lord, we say, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. People, in these moments, do business with God. Ask Him to give you the grace this week to pray this wonderful pattern for prayer. Ask Him for the grace and the strength to do it. And if we do it with all of our hearts, I know that you, me, us, we'll be different. We'll be different. We love you, Lord. Truly, we love you. Truly, we love you. Because you first loved us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyeland.com.